877-573-7825. Start dialing now. The call and the advice are free.
The doctor is in. The doctor is in. The doctor is in.
A sensitive, strivingly upward, post-90s guy. Self-aware. Hypersensitive, ultra-sensitive, zeros person. Communicating with women and men equally facilely. With men, they're satisfied with one grunt or two in response. Women, you got to grunt three or four times just to kind of, just to let them know you heard. 877-573-7825. The doctor is in. I'm the doctor who's in. Listening sensitively. Grunting with empathy. How would you grunt with empathy? Yeah, I do that with my wife. She'll say something. She'll tell me how she feels. I'll listen. And instead of just going, I can put a little inflection in it. And either I am among the most communicative of grunters, or she's just very tolerant because she says, thank you for understanding. And she gives me a big kiss, and I feel happy like I communicated. Pep Talk. 877-573-7825. Where are those new stations? Hold it. I'm looking for them. They were right here. I had them. I'll find them. There they are. Affiliates number 101. EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Listen to this. My own area. Are you guys listening out there? Living Bread? Lexington, Mansfield area. WFOT 89.5 FM. St. Gabriel Radio have officially launched their second station. Now covers much of Columbus, Ohio. Also reaches into Toledo Diocese with the launch of WFOT. Also, Pensacola, Florida, WDWR 1230 AM. Divine Word Radio has officially launched in Pensacola. Isn't that cool? Two more stations, 100 and 101. We're just about ready for a Dalmatian. All right. Elderly couple having dinner at another person's house. After eating, wives leave the table, they go into the kitchen. Two other guys are talking. One said, last night we went out to a new restaurant. It was great. I would recommend it highly. Other guy said, what's the name of it? First man sat there, thought and said, oh, man. What's the name of that flower you give to someone you love? You know, the one that's red, it's got thorns. You mean a rose? Yeah, that's the one, replied the guy, a rose. He then turned toward the kitchen and yelled, Rose! What's the name of that restaurant we went to last night? Dear Dr. Ray, what do you think of online Catholic dating service? Isn't that kind of a technical in vitro fertilization version of finding who God has for you in marriage? It seems to me, quote, I don't trust you to bring someone into my life, Lord, so I'm taking it into my own hands and I'm trying to sell myself online. From Bethany. Well, Bethany, using that kind of thinking, what would you be allowed to do to help yourself to do anything? And would that be saying, well, God, I don't trust you to find me a job, so I'm not going to put out applications. Well, God, I don't trust you to help me live healthily, so I'm not going to exercise. Well, God, I really don't trust you to sell my home for me, so instead of getting it listed in three places, I'm going to list it in seven. Would that basically mean that anything you do to help yourself in areas of your lives, whatever it might be, social, dating, financial, that it's not trust in God? You pick up a second job, but you got to earn some extra money to help pay the bills. Are you saying, I don't trust God to financially meet my needs? What is it about meeting someone of like mind, like morals, that smacks of saying, I don't trust God to introduce me? Is it something about the personal area that God would be more involved in? If you aggressively seek adoption agencies, if you do everything in your power to expose yourself to a broad range of adoption options, is that implying I don't trust God to give me a child? What would be the difference? If you say, well, the difference is you're selling yourself. And these other things, you're trying to seek some kind of improvement. And in this one, you're more or less saying, look at me, here I am. Well, is that your motive? Or is your motive, it's very difficult to meet people who think and believe like I do. And if, in fact, there's an avenue available, how would that be any different than me going to a church function? How would that be any different than me putting out the word among friends and relatives that sure would like to meet a great person? I don't know, Bethany, on that one. For me, I don't have any problems with it at all. As a matter of fact, I've recommended it to folks to actually look into something like this to see if indeed there are folks there who truly think like you do. And I'm becoming convinced that these kinds of services, these single services, online dating services, almost becoming a little more necessary and helpful, because it's just getting tougher and tougher for good Catholic singles to find another good Catholic single. You got to take advantage of every option you can. And if this is legitimate, there's certainly nothing immoral about it. Just my thoughts. When we come back, you, me, the phones, the computer, our thoughts, my IQ, your IQ, and whatever else you want to fling into the mix. I'm Dr. Ray. I'll be back.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Dr. Ray Guarendi is also a respected Catholic apologist. His 13-part apologetic television series, What Catholics Really Believe, is now available on DVD. With a mix of history, doctrine, and fun debate, Dr. Ray dialogues with Father Kevin Fate as they explore the common Protestant misunderstandings of Catholicism. For more information, go to Dr. Ray's page at AveMariaRadio.net and click on What Catholics Really Believe.
The investment professionals at Schwartz Investment Council now offer socially conscious investors four morally responsible mutual funds: the Ave Maria Catholic Values Fund, Growth Fund, Bond Fund, and Rising Dividend Fund. The financial experts at Schwartz have specially designed these four funds for Catholic investors whose conscience has specifically led them to expect greater social responsibility from their investments. All four funds invest in high-quality companies but are consistent with Catholic social, religious, and moral values. More information available at 1-866-AVE-MARIA. 1-866-AVE-MARIA.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate, so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimate Fund Distributors, LLC.
Have you been thinking of homeschooling? Catholic Heritage Curricula's educational approach lays a joyful foundation, resulting in children who achieve at or above grade level. CHC strives to build souls and families, being ever mindful that parents are first and foremost educating for eternity. CHC materials are Catholic, and the kids don't burn out. They learn how to learn. For more information, see chcweb.com. That's chcweb.com. Serenade, Glenn Miller. You know, when that song came out in the 40s, probably early 40s, my mother used to listen to that music. How old was Colleen when it came out? I think she was in her early 40s. My mother used to listen to that music. When I was 13 or 14 years old, and I listened to music in the 60s, I kept thinking, that is old stuff. 20 years ago. Well, now, when I listen to the Beatles, and my children look at me like, what music is that, Father? I'll say, that's Beatles, that's classic! And then I realize that was 40 years ago. I'm twice as old as my mom was when I thought she was old. Yow! Yow! Yeah. Ooh, that hurts. Tanya from Washington State was on the line yesterday when the program ended. And she was a desperate woman, just a desperate woman, telling, don't hang up on me, Dr. Ray. Don't, please. And I said, Tanya, I've got to go. And she said, I'll call again. And she did. She called right back. Hi, Tanya.
Hi. I wouldn't say desperate.
Well, okay. No, well, I like using those words because it makes me feel needed, affirmed.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyhow, I have two... Well, I've got a baby, but I've got two children who are kind of close in age, a 4.5 and 6-year-old, and they have two different personalities. My daughter has my husband's personality, and my son has my personality. So my daughter goes to school full day, and she comes home from kindergarten. She just wants to have time to herself, play alone. And my son is so excited to see her when she comes home. He wants to play with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, she just wants him to leave her alone. And I'm wondering, what do we do about this? Because then it gets into fighting, yelling, spitting, and I'm going,
well, if it were me, I think he needs to leave her alone.
Okay.
Your question becomes, should she be charitable and allow him to play with her? Or should he be respectful and allow her to have her space? Well, you kind of answered your own question, because when you got two competing social virtues here, if you allow him to intrude her space, you generally have conflict. What I would do is just simply say, if she wants to play, she'll be ready. And I think what's going to happen is after a while she will start playing with him. Either later in the evening or down the road a couple of months, because, you know, the whole idea of the overload of kindergarten will get passed, or first grade will get passed, and then she'll realize, yeah, I can go and be around all those people and still come home and like my brother. I wouldn't force it.
I have another question, too. She is in kindergarten, and she's getting used to following directions, but she's just not very fast at doing her homework. And
they have homework in kindergarten?
No, they're not homework, but the work that they do in school.
Okay.
So, yeah, I should reword that. And so anyhow, she's socializing, and I talked to her about that. And so they said, well, she's getting a little better, but she's still pretty slow. She doesn't get all of her work done when all the other kids do. So I'm wondering, what can I do to speed her up? The quality of her work is excellent.
Right. So they're not. The teachers are not saying that they think that she doesn't understand.
No, she understands, and you know she's getting good grades. And she's very artistic, very detail oriented, almost too much.
Well, I guess for me the question is, if she's performing, and if she's turning in great quality work, and she understands it, and she's getting good grades, she's getting all her O's, then I don't know what the problem is. If you say, well, I want her to work faster, they say, well, she's not working quick enough.
I guess my question is it because there's attention problems, or is it simply because that's her style? Is it because she's so detail-oriented that when she draws a picture, she can't just draw a person, she's got to put fingernails on them, and she's got to put 27 mustache
Actually,
hairs?
That's what it is. She draws the eyelashes, and
And that's a sign of brightness. I mean, that's a sign of bright kids. It's one of the earliest IQ measurements, is a draw a person. And you look at that person, and you see how much detail they put on it, and how proportioned it is, and all of that. So I guess I would ask the teacher point blank, is that a concern for you, or are you comfortable that she knows the stuff, she understands it, and she just happens to be very, very diligent and conscientious in overdoing it, overperforming? If they tell you that, I would ask them, well, then is it okay if I just kind of let it ride? She's learning the stuff. Because some of that kind of thing changes in the next year or two.
Okay.
But right now, I mean, you know, for me, I don't push alarm buttons unless it's pretty clear there are alarm buttons to push. I'm not going to look for them to push. And so I would clarify with the teacher, are you concerned that she's not attentive, or this is just a style of her? She's this artsy, craftsy kind of kid that has to dot every I and cross every T before she turns it in. Okay?
Okay.
There you
Thank
go,
you
Tanya.
So much.
Thank you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Marie from Philadelphia, PA, and this is kind of related to the opening commentary, or the opening email question, e-person question, about the connection with other folk. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I am glad you called me, because
and I actually had a comment in regards to your opening monologue. I did meet my boyfriend online.
And he's a good guy?
An online dating service.
Good guy?
Yes. Yes. Strong, devout Catholic, you know, and it does really somewhat to my question. Since I can remember, it has been so hard for me to make friendships. I mean, I'm 28 now. I can remember when I was a child, though, I was so kind of, like, philosophical, and I just... At that time, I just wasn't interested in what the other kids were interested in. But now that I'm an adult, it just kind of carried over.
You're kind of like being in your own world a little bit, kind of just pondering.
Exactly, exactly. And I feel like I've been held back so much by this.
Held back from what, Marie?
Just I stay home more than I... No, is...
Be careful. Now you say, I stay home. If you say, I stay home more than I really want to, and my insecurities are keeping me from going out, that's very different from saying, I stay home because I want to, but I wonder if that's good for me. Which is it here?
A lot of times I just stay home because it gets emotionally exhausting. Even though I really want to... maybe call this person or go to this, you know, young adult Catholic event. You know, or one thing I noticed, I'm at the point now I can make acquaintances or people that I, you know, see from time to time. But once it starts to get to be like a close friendship, like I feel like a little bit tired inside. Like, and I think partly is I'm just not used to it, even though I really... actually desire that.
I got two ideas.
Okay.
The first one is my weightlifting idea.
Okay.
I've been lifting weights now for approximately 35 years. With the exception of when I was much younger, for the most part, to take myself into a weight room and to say, I'm going to take these steel plates, I'm going to push them against gravity, and I'm going to push them until my muscles ache, until things hurt, until I get sore or tired or out of breath. Gee, isn't that fun? The vast majority of the time, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. It's much easier to stay home. It's much easier to do anything else besides pushing your body to its limit.
Okay.
However, I've come to understand over these 35 years that it's good for me. And in fact, I like it a lot after the fact. I like feeling strong. I like being able to move my body in ways that I might not have otherwise been able to move it. I like being able to jump a fence. I like having a little more muscle and a little less fat. So even though the activity itself is something I would avoid if I had my choice, I realize that it's good for me after the fact. Now, how have I gotten to the weight room for 35 years? Simple. I don't think about it. I just go do it.
Okay.
If I thought about it, I wouldn't do it. If I sat at home saying, I don't know, should I go? I don't know. I'm kind of tired today. Maybe tomorrow. Let's see, what's my schedule like tomorrow? Well, I could probably go around 2 o'clock. Yeah, maybe I'll go tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know. When I come back, and I'll talk myself out of it every time.
Right.
So what I have to do is to say, this activity is something I'm just going to do, almost robotic-like. And that might be a good piece of advice for you when there are certain activities coming up at church and you're saying to yourself, I'm going to weigh the pros and cons of whether I go.
Huh.
You'll lose. You won't go.
Right.
If you say to yourself, yeah, I know me enough to know that this is a good activity for me after the fact, I'm going to get in my car, whatever I got to do, and just head over there. The more thinking about it you do, the more likely you're not going to do it. Now, that's the first thing.
Okay.
Second piece of advice. Go ahead, honey.
Sorry, I was going to say, for a long time, I kind of blamed everybody else, like, oh, you know, like in high school, oh, these people are snobby, or they, you know, I would kind of blame it on everybody else, and then I started to realize, chances are it's not the whole entire world that has a problem, and I'm okay.
I'm cool. All of those 6 billion people are jerks.
Right.
Now, here's the second line. This, I think, is even more important for establishing relationships.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed when you've been with someone, either an acquaintance or a friend or someone you've just met, and you come away thinking, oh, I like them. Boy, I just like them. Tonight, what a great person. Very, very positive first impression. And you think about what it was. Much of the time, you will come to the conclusion that they were very interested in you.
Okay.
You left that conversation knowing not a whole lot about them, but they were truly interested in you and what you do for a living, and do you have children, and are you married, how long you've been married, and what religion are you, and gee, that's great. And they just focus that conversation on you through asking questions if they have to.
Okay.
If you want to get people to be automatically attracted to you, to really enjoy your company, very simple. Ask about them.
Okay.
It's so easy to do.
And also, I guess that takes the pressure off of me having to think of what to say.
Honey, that's exactly right. You go to an activity and your friend says, I come here a lot. I used to go over to St. Joseph's. Oh, well, why did you decide to come here? Well, I found that. Oh, you have children then, huh? How old are your children? Oh, my son's 5 and my daughter's 3. Ah, boy and a girl, huh? What differences do you notice between, you know, I'll tell you what, honey. You ask a few questions like that, and you can just sit back and let them.
I guess I find a way to talk myself out of everything, because sometimes I feel like I'm being newsy or something, but I think people do like talking about themselves.
Well, you're being interested, too.
It isn't
so fact that you're being nosy. It's just that you pay close attention to most conversations, and they are dual conversations going past each other. Well, I'm going to tell you about my 6-year-old. Oh, well, you know, you just reminded me something about my 6-year-old. Oh, well, let me tell you what my 6-year-old said then. Oh, well, you know, my grandmother said what my 6-year-old does. There's no connection there. There's two people carrying on two independent conversations shooting by each other. That is tiring, because you're waiting for your turn to talk.
Right.
Now, on this program, I got to do a lot of talking. And the reason is, and I'm being dead serious. The reason is, when somebody calls in here, they have a question. But the people listening aren't necessarily totally interested in that person's question. They're interested in whatever thoughts are offered that can help them, that can give them a nugget or two to live a better life.
Okay.
So, in that sense, here, I do most of the talking.
Right.
And that's what I need to do. But in social conversations, it's much more important. Let the other person do most of the talking.
Okay.
It's easy to do, and it's not hard. And I'll tell you what, you'll find that from a social perspective, people will gravitate toward you more, and you won't come away feeling exhausted. You'll get better at asking questions that are designed to make the people feel interested in and special.
And I guess I'd probably get discouraged too easily. You know, maybe there's like an interaction that didn't go great, and then I just want to just forget the whole thing. And, you know, so I guess not every single person we're going to.
That's right. You got that, honey. Thanks for the call. Great call, Marie.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dr. Ray.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. You want to go to listen live, AveMariaRadio.net, my website, DrRay.com, DRRAY.com. Many of you are saying, Dr. Ray, where do I get your Catholic stuff? Well, it's not for sale directly on my website. Down at the bottom of the order form is a link there. You can also go to DrRayDVD.com. That'll get you that Catholic stuff. I'll be back probably after 2 or 3 minutes of commercials. Well, not actually commercials. You can't have commercials, but 2 or 3 minutes of interesting announcements, and maybe I'll be back, and maybe I'll just take a little longer. I haven't decided yet.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
You're listening to your local Immaculate Heart radio station, bringing the best Catholic programs from our tower to your radio throughout the day. Your living catechism as you drive, jog, walk, stand in line, work around the house. Your way to connect to the global church, to pray with people around the world, to listen in to history being made. Your resources to grow your knowledge of our faith and your love of God. The truth about Catholics.
The nation of Denmark wants the European Union to consider continent-wide abortion regulations.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The call for an EU abortion law comes after a Danish TV channel aired a documentary about an abortion center in Spain that provides abortions as late as 8 months into pregnancy. The facility apparently draws women from across Europe. A Spanish health official said the facility was now being investigated to see if it is violating Spain's own abortion laws. Danish politicians say they were shocked by the television report. They should be. Taking the life of an unborn child should shock us all.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org. That's sba-list.org.
How much is a rosary worth? Ask our Blessed Mother.
But what of those millions and millions of people who are so poor that they have no rosary? Our Lady's Rosary Makers seeks your help in filling this need. On a non-profit basis, they will sell you the toolkit and supplies below cost to make rosaries yourself to send to the missions. Your supplies cost you pennies per rosary.
Find out how to help. www.olrm.org, 502-968-1434.
Standard 145 chord progression needs a yell in there. Very simple music. Very simple. Not real hard to do. But it sounds cool, doesn't it? Yep, two personality characteristics I've never been able to master. Simple and cool. Dr. Ray Guarendi here, giving me a little psychological booster shot, a little shot in the arm there. Living a stronger, more sturdy moral existence, huh? Let's see who we're going to talk to. Let's go, well, I'm not sure I can take this call because I don't have my passport. I used to be able to go to Canada without a passport. Now I think you have to have a passport, or coming up soon you have to have a passport. I don't know if that is effective in terms of taking calls from Canada. Dawn from Ontario, Canada is calling in. Do I need a passport to talk to you?
Nope.
I can just talk to you straight?
Yep. Hey, I just have one comment for the last caller.
Yeah.
How to win friends and influence people, Dale Carnegie.
I've heard of that. That's a what, 30, 40-year-old book, right?
Yeah, it's a great book. And it talks exactly what you were talking about, like getting interested in people. And
is Carnegie stealing my stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Because I remember, 30, 40 years ago, I was in school, and that would have meant that Carnegie probably took it from one of the papers I wrote for my sixth-grade teacher.
You know? I think so.
So who's being difficult besides me?
Okay. It's my daughter. She's going to be 6 in April. She's very intelligent, and I don't know if she's... Anyways, I don't know if she's bored or what at school, but she goes to a French Catholic school, and... we had problems before with her hitting and pushing and stuff, and we really worked on it with her. We prayed, we taught her, encouraged her, got her things, like a little wristband that says, Jesus is in my heart, to be nice to kids, and she was doing well.
She didn't start shooting her wristband at people, did she?
Yeah, right. Well, sort of. She said to a little girl, you don't have Jesus in your heart.
You don't have Jesus in your heart, so I'm going to smack you in the head.
And then she called her a liar because she said she did. But anyway.
You're a liar if you say you have Jesus in your heart. I have him in my heart, and nobody will tell me otherwise. I'll kick you right in the chest.
Oh, no kidding. So anyway, we get a report home every week, and she was getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I would ask her, and I even went into the classroom, and I sat in the classroom for 2 days and, you know, encouraged her and watched her, and, you know.
Was the work a little hard for you? Could you do it?
Well, you know, it was tough.
Could you do Mr. L?
All right.
Could you do Mr. L?
I don't know.
All right.
So now, we got a report home yesterday. We get it every Wednesday. And it was just really bad.
Off the cliff.
They rate her in 5 categories for 5 days. So out of 25 potential, stickers, she had 5 happy faces and 20... Like, she went, way off the cliff.
What an unravel, huh?
Oh, mama. And she writes down what she's done and, you know. So
oh, that's pretty good. Well, you know what I would say, Dawn? Obviously, I can't know what all the dynamics would be there. But in most cases like this, it is behavioral and it is a child's will and desire being stronger than the teacher's discipline.
Oh, absolutely.
So, if that's the case, I would say ask the teacher to send this home every day. And what you will do is you will respond according to the number of stickers. For example, if she comes home with 5 smiley face stickers, then she might have a little extra privilege. You can tell her, you know what, sweetheart, I'm going to let you stay up a half an hour later. Or I'm going to let you have 2 extra cookies or whatever. If she comes home with 4, you say, well, I'm going to give you your normal privileges. If she comes home with 3, I'm going to take a couple things away. She may lose her afternoon TV show that she watches, whatever one that might be. Hopefully it's a good one. And she will lose dessert. So everybody will eat dessert, and you'll just simply remind her, oh, no, you didn't have enough stickers today. If she comes home with 2 or less positive stickers, I would just simply eliminate virtually all of her privileges that day.
Rocco,
knock her down. I don't mean knock her down physically.
I know.
Privilege-wise, because you're going to tell her it's very important for you to listen to your teacher and follow the rules, and if you don't, and if your teacher doesn't make you, I will. I think what's happening, at least in most cases like this, the week is too long a delay.
Yes, I know.
Too much of a gap there. She can mess around, and all she does is she comes home and she shows you her stickers, and she doesn't do very well, and you talk about it, and that's nice, and she has Jesus in her heart, and Jesus is gone. I can't control her. You know, get a tougher sticker system. I think if my experience has been this, unless there is something that really needs to be looked into, and in most cases there's not, but if there is, okay, you'll discover it with the teacher. But in most cases like this, when the parent keeps a very daily close eye on that conduct and responds accordingly at home, every night. It is an unusual kid who doesn't improve dramatically.
Okay.
Okay? So try that, and because what will happen, you know what's going to happen, and if it hasn't already happened, I would suspect the teacher is going to say, well, we've done all this, and she's still not getting better. We got to find out what's wrong.
No, I know. They've already said that.
See? And that's just, I hear that so much, and I get so frustrated. Because vast majority of the time, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the kid. It's just the discipline isn't strong enough or daily enough, or the teacher is following a lot of notions and ideas that aren't really, they're new and psycho-trendy, but they don't work very well to control real kids.
Yeah.
And because of
that's what I noticed when I sat in the class, that she's very, well, she's a substitute teacher because her original teacher was sick. So she can't handle the students, so that's really
Well, if that's your impression, then that's probably a pretty good explanation.
Oh, like Caroline, she'll say to the teacher, like, stop talking. You've talked enough. I want to go play.
And the teacher doesn't look at her and say, Caroline, put your head down on your desk right now, please.
Well, sometimes she does. I don't think she does it all the time, which I've told her, you know, like, time her out. Yeah. Like, you're gonna have to
back it up if the teacher doesn't, Dawn, no doubt.
Yeah, but, okay. And that's what we told her that she was on blackout until the next report, but that's a week.
Yeah, I wouldn't go a week. I would just do it day at a time.
Okay, all right? Well, I'll call the school.
There you go. Okay. Thanks, honey.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jen, I don't know if Jennifer, she's calling from Columbus, Ohio. Now, there are two affiliates that reach the Columbus area. Jennifer, which one are you calling from, dear?
I'm actually listening on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Oh, Channel 160?
Yes.
They named that after my weight. Right. Sorry, I just remember this.
I wish they named it after mine.
Colleen's age. No, 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 no. How can we help you, Jennifer?
I would like your insight, Dr. Ray. I have been seeing a counselor and going to Al-Anon meetings for about a little over a year now. And I'm definitely codependent, and I'm having I have major boundary problems.
Who are you codependent with?
With myself.
Okay.
And one thing that I keep reading about is, you know, when you're setting boundaries, what you're doing is you're taking care of yourself. You're putting up boundaries for your emotional self because no one else, you know, understands that, so you have to do it. But what I'm not very good at doing that. So what I'm having trouble balancing is, how do you do that? How do you take care of yourself but remain God-centered and mm-hmm. not become self-centered?
Well, that is an exceptional philosophical question, Jennifer, because you're talking to a guy who believes that much of what we are teaching people nowadays and our modern ideas about the self is quite antithetical to God's ideas about the self. You know, God has these rather archaic ideas like surrender the self, sacrifice the self, die to the self. Oh, please! Come on, God! Have you not read some of the modern psychological stuff? What's with you? You're right. On one hand, God doesn't ask anybody to be a doormat, to stick their face there and say, oh, the way anybody wants to treat me is just fine with me, and I won't do anything about it. You could just slap me around emotionally. Don't worry about it. I don't think that's ever been Revelation's message, the church is teaching. On the other hand, much of our distress at not setting up boundaries for me is that we care too much about it. For example, much of the time we talk about boundaries, we're saying the person is infringing upon my rights, my feelings, my desires, my space, whatever, my. If we would say, okay, so she said that, so she thought that, so he basically presumed that, I don't have to be on the lookout to set up boundaries for everybody. I don't have to tell everybody, this is the way I want to be treated, and this is where I stand, and this is my assertive self. I don't have to do that. My faith basically tells me to roll with some of this. Okay, I know what he said. Yeah, it was a jerky thing to say. He's a hurting guy. I'm just going to let it roll off of me. I don't need to tell him how offended I was. I don't need to wait for it to happen again so I can set up a boundary. I don't need to assert myself and let him know how I felt about what he said. You're right. I think that breeds a person who can be prickly, can be hypervigilant to any kind of offense, any kind of distress. The most content people I've seen, Jennifer, have been those folks who can just kind of look at other people and say, yes, they have faults. Yes, they sin. Much of those faults and sinfulness can come at me. But a lot of it I can just overlook. I can forgive. I don't need to state my case. I don't need to put them at arm's length. I don't need to set up limits to their behavior because it doesn't really need limits. You know, like if you have a relative who's chronically difficult, okay, just a difficult person to get along with. He says things, he does things, she makes comments, she's insecure. You could exhaust yourself trying to set that relative straight, and all that would happen is you'd have a conflictual and eventually no relationship. Is that kind of putting some light on it?
A little bit. What would, I guess a better scenario for me would be if I had a difficult family member, which I do, and there's kind of constant anxiety and issues that I deal with this family member, and I've always kind of just tried to just suck it up and, I guess, stuff the feelings and not really bury them and not really, you know, deal with them.
Okay.
And
all right, that's a great question.
I'm trying to learn how to deal with that, but I feel like if I react to that, I would be very self-centered in that, and I want to be more,
okay,
you know, God-centered and sacrificial in how I respond.
And that's a great question. Let's do this. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go straight at that question because a lot of people have that question. How do you deal with someone as a relative who distresses you or makes you anxious or makes you nervous? And I try to just stuff those feelings. I try to bury them. I try to suck it up. I try to gut it out. And what I find is, oh, I'm just getting more distressed. So hold on. I'll be right back.
The investment professionals at Schwartz Investment Counsel now offer socially conscious investors 4 morally responsible mutual funds. The Ave Maria Catholic Values Fund, Growth Fund, Bond Fund, and Rising Dividend Fund. The financial experts at Schwartz have specially designed these 4 funds for Catholic investors whose conscience has specifically led them to expect greater social responsibility from their investments. All 4 funds invest in high-quality companies but are consistent with Catholic social, religious, and moral values. More information available at 1-866-AVE-MARIA. 1-866-AVE-MARIA.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimate Fund Distributors, LLC.
Reading the Bible is important to your spiritual formation, but many have difficulty reading while others feel they're too busy to sit down and read. The Ave Maria online store has a solution. The complete audio Bible from NAB. Dozens of Catholic scholars developed this contemporary version on 66 high-quality compact discs, and this non-dramatized version is read by award-winning narrator Eric Martin. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the online store to get your copy today. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Greetings, I'm Tim DeLora of the Apostolate for the Eucharistic Life, and I would like to thank Ave Maria Radio for producing programs like The Doctor Is In, and to offer you a place of spiritual renewal at the Bread of Life Retreat Residence, a place of peace with our Eucharistic Lord, a spiritual library, and accommodations for the night. 734-332-9733 to reserve your personal retreat. That's 734-332-9733. God bless you.
Thank you.
music that I let my children listen to. It was actually music, you know that? Think about this. You listen to anything that's been put out in the last 20 years, especially the pop stuff, there isn't much musical variation and quality to it. It's actually music. In the mood. In the bad mood. Once again, Glenn Miller. Killed overseas during the war. Probably in his late 30s, early 40s, I believe he was. Dr. Ray Guarendi. Late 30s, early 40s, I believe I was. Doctor is in. 8775-PEP-TALK is the number. Talking to Jennifer from Columbus, Ohio. Jennifer is seeing a counselor. Jen, I want to emphasize that these are all things you need to talk about with your counselor. I'm just giving you some generic thoughts. Okay. Your question was a good one. How do you deal with people who distress you or make you anxious and nervous or upset on a chronic basis, a family member, someone you got to be around? And on one hand, you don't want to constantly assert yourself, have battle with them, point out what they're doing. On the other hand, if you don't, you're holding your nose and you're developing an ulcer because you're stuffing your feelings. Well, there's a third alternative. Yes, people will routinely say, well, isn't it better to let them know how you feel than to just try to ignore it and stuff it and swallow it and grit your teeth and close your eyes and hold your nose? Yes and no. We don't have to necessarily stuff it if it doesn't bother us. The ultimate goal for you, I would think, would be to have these folks not upset you, even though they haven't changed any, correct?
Right, so a change of my attitude?
Yes, yes. In other words, this difficult person, this anxiety-provoking person, who has the ability to make you nervous, to make you question yourself, to make you frustrated, to make you ruminate for 4.5 hours after he or she's out of your sight, you got to say to yourself, what am I doing? What am I thinking that is getting myself so upset about this person? Why do I have to stuff this? Why do I have feelings I have to stuff? Why can I have less feelings? Why can't I have no feelings that I have to stuff? What is it in the way I'm reacting to this person? What am I thinking? For example, commonly, people look at other people's distressing behavior and say, they shouldn't be acting that way. I didn't do anything to them. Why are they doing that? Well, an answer to that question that would make you, I think, have less bad feelings would be, because that's who they are, because they've always been that way, because they have their own insecurities and their own double standards and their own sinful nature, and they do that. That's them. Probably always will be them. And for me to get along with them, or at least to tolerate them, or to at least have less bad feelings, I've got to realize that. I've got to quit frustrating myself over the fact that they're not changing. If I say, yeah, but they're attacking me, or they make me feel inadequate, or they're trying to take advantage of me, or they're using me, or they're saying things about me to destroy my reputation behind my back. Okay, now what? Are you going to try to stop them? And if so, how would you do that? And if you say, well, I can't stop them, I already know I can't stop them, okay, then how do we then interpret what they're doing? We say, I can't stop anybody from saying anything about me at any time. And I realize that now. At age 34 in my life, I realize that's a reality. I guess what I'm saying here, Jen, is that you don't have to stuff the feelings if you can find a way that they don't build up as intensely. And the way to do that is to rethink the way you're looking at the whole situation.
All right.
Okay? And that now, by the way, that takes years. But wait a minute. I'll tell you the good news, though. Here's the good news. At least 10 years from now, you'll do better. If you don't do that, 10 years from now, you'll probably feel worse. Right?
That's true.
It's like a guy who says, I want to bench 300 pounds. And I said, well, okay, let's start working out, and 6 years from now, you'll be able to bench 300 pounds. And he says, well, wait a minute. 6 years? I'll go, yeah, 6 years. If you didn't start lifting weights, what would you be able to do 6 years from now? So if you don't start doing this, what will you think and feel like 6 years from now?
A whole lot worse, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's right, because it tends to build on itself. You're absolutely right. Thanks, Jen.
Right, thank you very much, Dr. Ray.
Great call. You call anytime. I like those generic psychological questions. Let me just a second extrapolate a little more on this. All of us have all kinds of thoughts that we believe about the world and about other people. And these thoughts can create a lot of distress. And they're automatic thoughts. For example, my mother. My mother should be nice. My mother's not nice. Now, I'm not talking about my mother. I'm talking about generic mothers. Just in case you're listening, Mom. My mother should be nice. My mother's not nice. My mother's intrusive. My mother's bossy. My mother's controlling. I shouldn't have a mother like this. I should have a nice mother. I should have a mother who's kind and understanding. And a mother like Mary, if I had to pick. And I don't. So every time my mother doesn't act according to that template that I have in my mind, I get frustrated. I get upset. Why? Well, because you're not supposed to act this way. But if you viewed it as, says who? My mother is the lady that God gave me, with all of her faults and all of her bossiness and all of her controllingness. And yes, she is difficult to get along with, no question. But after 38 years, I'm going to realize that I can't stop my mother from being controlling and bossing. I can let it go in one ear and out the other, and she's not going to run my life. But she's still going to say what she's going to say, and I got to recognize that. And once I start to recognize that, truly accept that, down deep in your gut, you accept it. You don't get as upset. What she used to say that used to drive you nuts doesn't drive you nuts anymore. Diana, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Diana. Diana from Kansas City. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Did we lose Diana?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where did you go, young lady?
Playing with my 3-year-old.
Was he curious about his anatomy?
Yeah, not at this moment.
Yeah, that's because you distracted him. when you say he's curious about his anatomy, I'm assuming you're not saying, Mom,
right?
I've been noticing I got an elbow over here.
No.
I'm really curious about my elbow.
I'm comfortable with the elbow.
Okay, you can go with the elbow. So it's safe to say it's not his neck, it's not his trapezius muscle.
Right.
Is it his pancreatic duct?
I'm going to doubt it.
A phalanges?
No.
All right, so curious about his anatomy. Let's see. Can you narrow it down?
Down. That's a good word for
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. We're getting close. We're getting warmer, getting warmer. All right.
Can you sense my blushing?
Well, how curious is he?
Well, ever since we've started potty training, it's sitting on the toilet. It's taking a little bit longer because he's got to mess with it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constantly asking everyone if they have one. Those kind of things.
All right. Well, first
and I know, you know, I've talked with other friends of mine, and it's not just boys. Girls do the same thing. And they have problems, but the girls, friends that I've talked with, that their little girls, oh, you know, they'll walk in on their bedroom and their little girls have their hands where they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And every trendy parenting magazine says you should allow them to do this and you should allow them to tell them all the real words for everything.
Every trendy parenting magazine says you should allow them to kill a baby in a womb, too.
That's true. It's hard to get past what you read when they say you don't want them to be ashamed of that, because you don't want them to be ashamed of it. But how do you explain to a three-year-old that God made them beautiful?
You just explained it. Yeah, you're not ashamed.
They don't get that, though.
You're not. Well, of course they don't. And they don't. How should I put this? All right. First of all, there's no moral component involved here. He's 3 years old.
Right.
So there's not a moral component. Secondly, this is an opportune moment to say, oh, yeah, God gave you one of those. He gave them to boys. Little girls have different. That's right. That's a gift from God, just like the rest of your body is. You can't, when you go potty, you can't play with it because you'll get it all over the place. You have to go potty in the potty.
Right.
So you explain it in terms of practical terms, I would consider. what you tell him he doesn't get, but at the same time, all you're doing is laying down a verbal base to build upon so that a year or two or three from now, when you say the same thing again, he's heard it before.
Right.
It's not new stuff. You're not just introducing it. I would say that. If he begins to play and become preoccupied, you distract. You go in and
when
say, okay.
When you distract, do you say that that's not something you play with?
At his little age, you might not have to.
Okay.
But the older ages, you might. You might say, well, come here. Come here, bud. That's a private part. That's a very special part that God gave you, and God uses that part for very, very special things. And you're going to find that when you get older. Now, come here. Here's a ball. Throw it off the wall. You could do that. Sure. But, you know, I'll tell you the good news. The curiosity comes and goes for most of the kids. Not all of them, but for most of them, it fades away and then comes back and fades away and then comes back. It's that kind of thing. Okay? I want to talk to Jeff and Elisa. You got your time. You're first up when I come back. Walk with God. Colleen here tomorrow. Don't give her that 160 age crack about the serious thing, would you? Walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand.
For more great advice from Dr. Ray, log on to www.avemariaradio.net and click on Shows and Hosts.